Rabbi Menachem Apter, Sunday the 5th of July, Yud Gimel Tammuz, Spisa LeYeshua, are we really waiting?
This week, as we approach Bein HaKsarim, we focus very much on Churban. And the Churban, the cause of the Churban, Chazal tell us, has become the Chet V'Meraglim. Om HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Heim Bochu B'chir L'chinom, the Klai Yisrael cry for nothing, V'ani Ekva Lehem B'chir L'dayris. So I'll cause this day to be set as a day for mourning. And part of that mourning, part of that, is Eicha. Yirmiyahu Novi wrote Eicha in the order of the Aleph base. Except, in the second parak, we find the psukim for Ayin and Pei are out of order. The pasuk for Pei is written before the pasuk for Ayin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin asks why they're out of order. And the Gemara explains, the order is reversed because the Meraglim said with their mouths, with their Pei, the Pei is Ramos to the Pei, what they didn't see with their eyes, with their iron. So it puts the pay before the iron. Reb Shimon Schwab in his Sefer asks, that if you go through the parasha of the Meraglim, you'll see that everything they said was correct. They didn't lie at all. Everything was true. So what does it mean they said with their mouths what they didn't see with their eyes? So he explains that in life, we see what we want to see. When they came to Eretz Yisrael, they could have seen the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. They could have seen Kibrei Ovis. They could have seen Har Maria. But they only saw the negative. Similarly, we see from the Stipler, his Madaik, Rashi tells us, when the Meraglim came back, they said, "Is Eretz Oicheles Yeshver?" And Rashi says, that was a Taina. They said, "The Eretz Oicheles Yeshver, everybody's dying everywhere." The Ribbono Shel Olam did that for their benefit. The Ribbono Shel Olam did it so that people won't notice the Meraglim at all. And instead of that, the Meraglim used it as a Taina. They only saw the negative. The Stifler asks, but how were they supposed to know? They saw people die. So he explains, if you want to see the truth, you can see the truth. Why? Because if people were dying all over the place, if it was a common occurrence, then the mourning is not the same type of mourning. They don't make such long hespedim. They don't have such intensity of mourning. The fact there was such heavy mourning, they should have realized, this is a one-time event. And if it's a one-time event, then they should think, why did it happen right now? It must be that the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to send them a message. He's trying to protect them and help them in what they're doing. But they didn't want to see the emes. They didn't see the emes. And that is why Reb Shimon Schwab explains, the Meraglim, before they went, they decided what they're going to see. They said with their mouth what they didn't see with their eyes, because they haven't seen it yet. Before they left, they knew what they're going to say. They're only going to see the negative. And the truth is, it's Mefurash Chazal. Well, the Pasuk really, the Pasuk says, Vayelchu Vayavoyu El Moshe. They went and they came to Moshe. So Rashi asks, what is it mentioning they went? Just say they came to Moshe. So he explains, Lahakish Shalichosn Biyosn. To compare, they're coming to Moshe, where they're going in the first place. Ma Biyosn Beitzerah, Ap Halichosn Beitzerah. That just like when they came back to Moshe, it was with bad intentions, to say Lashna about Eretz Yisrael, so too when they left already, they already left with bad intentions. And therefore they ended up saying with their mouths what they didn't see with their eyes. We experience this many times in life. In psychology, they even have a term for it, cognitive dissonance. When somebody doesn't want to see the emes, it bothers them to see the emes. And I once had an incident that happened with me. My son, I was teaching, my son came to me, and he told me he has a problem that his hands have a bluish tinge to them. It looked like they were very cold. So I told him, warm them up. He said he tried, and I felt his hands, they were warm, and he wasn't helping. So I called the doctor. The doctor said, come over right away. We went to the doctor, and the doctor checked his hands, and then his feet also. He took his socks off, and his feet also had this bluish tinge to them. And he said, it looks like it's a circulation problem. In 35 years, he never saw such a thing. He has no idea what it is. So he said, but it could be, it's a heart problem, because it looks like a circulation problem. We should go and see a cardiologist. So right away, he arranged us an appointment. We went to see a cardiologist. The cardiologist did an EKG, checked out my son. He said, I don't see anything, but I don't normally deal with juveniles. I don't know. So what else is, I'll call a friend of mine in Columbia Presbyterian. He deals with juvenile heart problems. Meanwhile, it was a Monday. On Wednesday, I want him to take a battery of tests in the hospital. So I said, okay, no problem. Went home, and he said he doesn't see it as an emergency. He can go to yeshiva tomorrow, because there's nothing that he can see as a problem right now. But he'll find out about it. So, my son went to yeshiva the next day. My son comes over to me in the middle. He says, I think if I rub very hard, the blue comes out. So I took him home, and he scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed, and all the blue came out. What was it? There were new blue sheets, and the dye had sunk embedded deep into his hands and into his feet. And so that's how he had the blue. So I called the pediatrician to tell him, and he said, oh, what should we write for the diagnosis for the insurance company? Then I called the cardiologist, and the cardiologist says, no, I'm still worried a little bit. I want you to do a test still. And this cardiologist couldn't face the fact that he'd made a mistake. He had to somehow say there's still a problem, which was ridiculous. But that's how people are. If people don't want to see the MS, they're not going to see the MS. And that is exactly what happened over here with the Meraglim. But this blue ink story continues. Right after the Meraglim, the Klal Yisrael are given a mitzvah with blue ink. They're given a mitzvah of psil tcheles, to have blue thread on the tzitzis. What is that for? To see something correctly. To see that tcheles doimel yam, yam doimel rikia, and rikia doimel kisa kovit. To take a message to bring to Yerushalayim from this blue ink. But what happened? Right after that, Korach, he uses that same blue ink, that blue dye, he uses that to begin his rebellion against Moshe. He puts on talisim, shekunah tcheles, on his men, and asks Moshe the chayv in tzitzis. Moshe says the chayv in tzitzis, and Korach begins his rebellion. That blue ink that is supposed to bring Yerushalayim, and he saw it in the wrong way, and it brought him to rebellion. And like I say, this often happens. There was a person who was driving home on the freeway, and his wife calls him up and says, you've got to be very careful. There's somebody driving in the wrong direction. I just heard it on the radio. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. There are hundreds of people driving in the wrong direction. In life, if we don't want to see the emes, we're not going to see it. And that is with Korach. Eino hitosai. His eye deceived him. He didn't want to see the truth, and he wasn't able to see it. And then again, what we learned yesterday. Bilam. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Bilam, Mi hua noshu heil imoch. Who are these people who came to see you? So Bilam says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't always know what's going on. I'm going to take the opportunity at a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what's happening, and I'll curse Klal Yisrael. Bilam, the greatest of the Nevi'im, and he was able to think that Rabbi Yisrael doesn't know what's going on, but again, Chazal tell us he was blind in one eye. Again, he didn't see correctly. If we don't want to see the emes, we're not going to see it. Rav Haigon has a sefer of tshuvas, and incidentally, don't name the children Hai, it wasn't his name, it means Rav Haigon, that gone. So in his tshuva sefer, he puts in one story. So obviously he felt this story is of great importance. And in the story he writes, there was a lion that caught a fox. The lion was about to eat the fox, and the fox says, what do you want to eat me for? I'm a scrawny little thing. I'll show you a nice, big, fat person to eat. With a lot of flesh on him. He'll have a good meal. So the lion says to him, I'm a little worried. Because people have schusim. And HaKadosh Baruch will be angry at me. And I don't want anything to happen to me. So the fox says, listen, you might be the strongest of the animals. I'm the wisest. I know how these things work. I can guarantee you, nothing will happen to you. Nothing will happen to your children. Maybe to your grandchildren. So the lion says, okay, show me. So the fox shows the lion a man sitting in the woods, and the lion pounces. But right next to that man there was a pit, and the lion falls deep into the pit. He's looking up, trying to pull his way out. He has no way out. And he sees the fox looking down at him, smirking at him. So he says to the fox, you lied to me. The fox says, no, he didn't. He says, you said nothing will happen to me. The fox says, no, this isn't for your chet. This is your grandfather's chet. So the lion says to him, why should I be punished for what my grandfather did? The fox says to him, it's funny, you didn't have that question a few minutes ago. When we don't want to see the truth, we're not going to see it. And this is so true in daily life for all of us. Pekach einech ra'eh. We have to open up our eyes and make sure we see the emes. I'm reminded of a story. There were three men who were dancing Ville together. So excited, and they're singing, 59, 59, 59. So a man goes over to them and says, what, is your 59th birthday? It's one of you? So he said, no. He says, what are you so excited about? He said, we just finished a jigsaw puzzle. And this jigsaw puzzle, we finished it in 59 days. And on the box blocks, it said, 4 to 8 years. We are very complacent about our Yiddishkeit. We feel our Yiddishkeit, we're like those people. We feel everything is perfect. We live in a Makom Torah among B'nai Torah. You live in Lakewood and Monsey, in Borough Park and Flatbush. Gold is green on Stamford Hill. There's lots of chesed around. Everything is fine with our Yiddishkeit. But we have to analyze. A bacher once came to the Chazon Ish, and he asked the Chazon Ish to prepare him. The Chazon Ish asked him some questions. And the Chazon Ish said to him, it was okay. But Chazal say, when somebody prepares you, al tagam game, you shouldn't stammer or stutter, ela emelo miyad, answer right away. And you stammered a little bit. Learn it again. And the bacher learned it again. He came back. He said it over to the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish said to him, you weren't megamgamakul, you didn't stammer. But, emoeloi, say it. I wouldn't call it you said it. Learn it another time. The bacher learned it again, and again the Chazon Ish fared him. He said again, much better. But Chazal say, emoeloi miyad. It wasn't right away. Learn it another time. The bacher learned it once more, and this time it was perfect. In life, we have many tests. And again, I don't know all the English tests what you have here. I'm out of here for a while. But in America, you have tests. CPA for accountancy, there's OT, PT, you take the bar for law, different tests, there's smicha tests, there's different tests people take in life. But there's one test we will all share. That test comes after we're 120, and we'll be asked a few questions. One of those questions is, Tzipisal Yeshua, were you waiting for salvation? And we have to think, will we be able to answer that question? And will we be able to answer it miyad, spontaneously? I was waiting every day for Mashiach to come. If you look at Shulchan Aruch, laws for daily life, Hanhogas Adon Baboike, right at the beginning. So the first sif is the famous sif, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Somit. Okay, that's the first sif. The second sif already talks about being mispal, ala churban valagolas. The third sif, in daily life, Roy Lechol Yerushimayim, she emates of a doig al churban beis hamikdash. They would be distressed and upset about the churban abayas. These are not halachas for Bein Hamsorim or for Tisha B'Av. These are halachas for every single day. Fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. And I work in yeshiva, and I don't see churban galus gets mentioned too much at all. Rabbi Victor Miller was asked once why he hardly ever attended weddings. He wouldn't go to weddings. So he said, if I was studying for my test, for law school, for the bar, and I told you, I'm too busy, there's 2 months I'm studying for now, you would understand why I don't go. I'm also preparing for a test. My test after 120. Rabbi Victor Miller wanted to be able to answer miyad, right away. And people in our day wonder, why doesn't Mashiach come? Why so much Torah at all? And Rabbi Yaakov Emden made it very clear in his Siddur. And I'll read a condensed version of what he writes. Il mole, loy hoyer ovin zeb yodenu. If this was the only chet we had, she'en misavlin al Yerushalayim koroy, that we don't mourn Yerushalayim correctly, dai laharech galaseinu. That would be enough reason to lengthen our galas. Lefish yotza ha'ovul halos melebeinu. We have stopped mourning. Shochachnu et Yerushalayim. V'chol oyev emes, yoydel et vareinu. Anybody who seeks the truth, when admits to the truth, will admit to this point. But Yom Tisha B'Av, Kamod Demoiz Nishpochis, even on Tisha B'Av who's crying on Zeus, Ve'in Sarach Leima B'Shai Mei Ashana, Ein Zeicher, Ve'in Peiker, Ve'in Doiva. So he says clearly, why Mashiach isn't coming? We're not spending enough time thinking about Golas, Churban, Bimekayim, Tzipisal Yeshua. And as we're approaching the 3 weeks, it's certainly an appropriate time to strengthen ourselves in this inyan. This is not an Eitzah Tova, it's not a Segula, but it's me Ikrei Hados. What does this entail? What does it mean to be Tzipisal Yeshua? Firstly, in Parshas Va'era we see, the Pasuk says, Voitzeis Yeschem mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim. I'll take you out from under the suffering of Mitzrayim. The word Sivlois is written Chosavov. A few psukim later it says, Yodatem ki ani Hashem alekeichem, Asher Tzeis Yeschem mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim. The second time it's written, with a vav. Why is that? The Sefer Bar Yosef explains, that when Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, they were suffering a double shibud. There was a shibud nefesh and a shibud aguf. But Klal Yisrael were only able to feel L'Avodas Parach. They were only able to feel what they were suffering physically. They didn't realize about the shibud nefesh at all. So Vayitzeis Yeschem Betol B'tachas Sivlis Mitzrayim. The first time it's written without a vav chasa, one suffering. But then afterwards, B'lakachtem Eschem Lila Om. I'll take you for a people of the Matan Torah. Be a dat, and then you'll know. After Matan Torah, it's written with a vav, that you'll realize then that when you were Mitzrayim, you were Memtes Sharitumah. You'll realize it wasn't just a single shibud, but it was a double shibud. And this is something we have to realize. We too live in a golus, which isn't just a physical golus. It's also we're living in a mokum tumah, but we get used to it and we don't realize it. The Chasnovel Rebbe was once staying at an inn, and he got up with Tikkun Chatzos. He was crying away, and the husband and wife, they heard him crying, so the wife sent the husband to see what's going on. He goes running into the room and he asks him, is everything okay? He says, yeah, I'm crying for the golus, Churban. I'm waiting for Mashiach to come. Aren't you waiting for Mashiach to come? So the innkeeper, he was well trained, he said, I've got to go and check for my wife. So he goes to the wife and he asks her, he comes back, he says, I spoke to my wife, and she said, look, Baruch Hashem, we have a nice inn over here. We have a cow and some chickens. No, we're not interested in Mashiach. So the Rebbe said to him, and what happens if the Cossacks come and they burn down your inn, they take your chickens, they shecht your cow, then what are you going to do? So he said, let me check for my wife. And he comes back and he says, yeah, I spoke to my wife, and she said, well, we've changed our mind. We want Mashiach to come. Mashiach should come, and she should take the, and he should take the Cossacks to Eretz Yisrael. People think they want Mashiach to come because there's Tzoros around. That is not the reason to want Mashiach to come. We should want Mashiach to come because we're living in a mokim tumah. But again, we don't realize it. In the Baruch of Olam Olshinim, there's tremendous emphasis on speed. Kurega yoivedu, instantly, the Rabbanim shall destroy all the riches. Mehera ta'ake, mehera yagresu. Four times it mentions speed. Why so much emphasis on speed? So imagine a farmer, 100 years ago, no plumbing, no hygiene. He would come home from the barn, and he would sit down in the kitchen, his hands caked in mud, animals running all over the place, and he'll eat his meal with it like that. Contrast that to the Queen's coronation. She's walking along the red carpet to her throne, and the cat runs across the carpet. The guards rush to scoop the cat, get it out of the way. It has no place with all this pomp and ceremony over here. We have to realize that we're living in a mokum tumah, and we've got to get out of here, like we say, Mal Mashiach, and get the riches out of here so quickly. It's like that cat, it doesn't have no place where we are. We are Mamleches Kainim. We are also B'nai Melochim, and we should be disgusted with the slightest tumah. And we need the riches removed immediately. Not like that peasant who's oblivious to the dirt around him. But the problem is, we've never experienced real Kedusha. We've never bought Bikurim. We've never had Aliyah L'Regel. We've never seen Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It's difficult for us to understand and to relate to real Kedusha. Somebody once told me that the night before he was eating a steak supper, and over the steak supper with a friend of his, they were reminiscing the days they were in Auschwitz together. And he says they were talking about the one day they were eating their rations, and as they were eating their rations, one of them said to the other, one day, you see this bit of hard bread we have, burnt hard bread, we're going to be out of here, and we're going to have a whole loaf of fresh bread to eat. That was their dream, a whole loaf of fresh bread. They didn't have hasogas more than that. And we too are like that as well. We have ideas what's going to be, there's going to be gu'ula. But we have no idea what it is. Whatever we think it's going to be a million times more than that. What we're thinking about is like a loaf of bread. We cannot imagine life with a Beis HaMikdash. This is the first level of Tzibis Lishua, trying to understand and feel the lack of Kedusha in our lives. And this will lead us to the next level of waiting anxiously for the Gula. The Chafetz Chaim used to say over, when the Beis HaLevi was asked to be Rav in Brisk, he declined. He wanted to sit and learn. When they told him, there's 25,000 Yidden in Brisk waiting for you, he jumped up, he grabbed his coat, and he said, I can't keep the Yidden waiting. The Chafetz Chaim would say, if Mashiach would see that all of Klal Yisrael are waiting, Mashiach would come right away. He wouldn't keep the whole of Klai Yisrael waiting. We have to feel. We can't wait any longer. And we see in the Zemar in the Haggadah, and I don't know who wrote it, we see in Adir Hu, the word Bekorev, in each stanza is mentioned three times. Bimheira is mentioned twice. You look through the whole song and we see Bekorev is mentioned. We want the Gula Bekorev 24 times. Bimheira is mentioned 16 times. Obviously the person who wrote this Zemar was waiting for Gula. We have to feel that urgent need. The third level of Tzipis LeYeshua is, as the Chofetz Chaim says, it's not enough to wait for Mashiach. We must do something concrete to help bring Mashiach. And we all know what caused the Churban was Sinas Chinam. So to bring Geula, we have to wipe out that Sinas Chinam. So people, they learn Shmiras HaLoshen, they make Machsav Lefi, they do different things. And these things are all very admirable. But we have to also get to the source of the problem. What causes Sinas Chinam? Sinas Chinam is caused, like we began today, by not seeing things correctly. The Meraglim were punished for 40 years in the Midbar. Klaiyus were punished for 40 years in the Midbar because of the 40 days that the Meraglim sinned when scouting the land. Rabbi Chaim Shplevitz asks, they didn't sin for 40 days. They sinned for one day when they came back and said the Lashon Hara. So why are Klaiyus all punished 40 years for 40 days? So he answers, even though it's not written in Sefer Chofetz Chaim, he was Mechadish and Yudin in Lashon Hara. The Meraglim, when they went around, they saw things negatively. Looking at something in a negative way is also a Chet Lashon Hara. And that's why we were punished for all 40 days, 40 years in the Midbar. And that is the lesson we have to take. We want to fix in a Shinom. We have to see things in the right way. The vision of the Rebbe in Monsey, his son went to a Chasna to represent him. So he went with the Gabba to the Chasna. He walks in, and the Baal Simcha, he says, Mazel Tov to the Baal Simcha. The Baal Simcha says to him, Keine hat ach nicht gerufen. And the Gabba is standing there shocked. That's how he talks to the Rebbe's son. And the Rebbe's son was a big honor. He walks away and he stays there a while at the Simcha and then he goes home. The Gabba told somebody who told somebody. The story gets around. Somebody came over to Baal Simcha and said to him, Ah, chutzpah yav. That's how you talk to the Rebbe's son. So he said, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, you know, when he came here, what you said to him, Keine hat ach nicht gerufen. He says, what happens like this? At davening in the morning, I needed to make some calls. And I didn't have my cell phone with me. And I knew this son of the Rebbe is very involved in helping medical issues, helping people. So he carries with him a couple of cell phones always. So I asked him, could I borrow one of your cell phones? He says, sure, but make sure you tell me if I get a call. So when he came in, I told him, Keiner, hat ach nicht gerufen. Nobody called you. We've got to be careful not to jump to conclusions, misinterpret situations. There was a story, a chasna. The band came late to the chasna. It was the middle of the first dance. And they were trying to make it labidic. It wasn't working too well. And people were disgusted. What happened to the band? The band walks in. Oh, finally they're here. Started playing. And people were talking about this band. Irresponsible. But what had happened? The real band who was supposed to come, there was a misunderstanding. They were a different chasna. The father of the chasna called a friend of his, who had some shaykhs to bands, and he was calling, and he called people who didn't want to come, and he told them, his mamash made mitzvah this chasna, please come. And these people who came were moisa nefesh to get there to this chasna. But of course, people didn't know that. We have to be so careful to see things positively. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. Hevidon es kol ha'odom lekavskuz. It should say, Hevidon es kol odom lekavskuz. What ha'odom? It means a specific person. Judge kol ha'adam, the whole person of Kavskos. Don't look at one individual incident. And this we see when Adam Arish was punished. He was told, you know why you're being punished? Kishamata l'kredish techo. You listen to your wife. And right after that, Vayikra Adam Shemish Techava, he called his wife Chava, ki hi hoisa em kol chai. At the very moment when he was told that he will suffer because of Chava, that's when he praises her. Why? He calls her the mother of all living beings. At that very moment, his whole life is ruined. He'll have to actually get a job now. But he doesn't dwell on the negative. He thinks to himself, yes, I'm upset now. But look how much she does for me. At that very moment, he focuses on the positive. And he praises her. If we can't do that, at least we should keep quiet and not focus on the negative. Our avoidance, peace, Yeshua, is therefore first to realize what we are missing in Golus, then to feel a strong urge for the Geula, for Binyan Beis Hamikdash, and then to do something constructive to help bring the Geula. We must work on seeing the positive in people, and Ein Tova. I heard a story of a woman who was in a concentration camp. She survived to be liberated, and she was asked, "What was your worst day in the camps?" And she said, "My worst day in the camps was the day of liberation." So they looked at her with shock. "What?" So she said, "Yes, the day of liberation. I was sure that I would get out alive. That I was always sure. But one thing I was sure, what kept me going was, and people around me, was we knew when this is over, Mashiach is going to be here. When those gates open, and we are liberated, Mashiach is going to be there to greet us." But what happened? On the day of liberation, the gates opened up, and who was standing there? American GIs with Hershey chocolate bars. That's not what I was waiting for. That was the worst day in the camps. I was so disappointed. If we would all want for Geula, and wait for Geula, like that lady did, then as Chofetz Chaim would say, Mashiach won't keep us waiting, and Mitzvah Shem will be zeicher to the Geula Shleima, in Erev Yemeinu Amen.